Welcome to the Presentation Podcast, Season 6, Episode 138. Let's start another Design Studio conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation. Here are the show hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Haynes, and Sandra Johnson.
Hi all, I am Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, Inc., and I am based in warm weather, Southern California, in November.
Oh, don't get me started on the weather. This is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz in dark and cold Minneapolis, Minnesota. Welcome to the Presentation Podcast.
On that bright and cheery note, I'm Nolan Haynes from Nolan Haynes Creative in Montclair, New Jersey, where it is fall. It is your textbook definition of fall, and it's pretty
lovely.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
wonderful, nice. Okay, guys, so we got to just talk what's happening in studios because it's the end of the year. Things always get crazy for us in October, November already. But I can just say for us, it is so much presentation design. I am so excited. We are doing just crazy, awesome presentations. Not any templates now that I think about it right now. It's like we finished off a bunch of them. Nope, we have one template, one award show, but it's like just so much fun presentation design for us. I mean, the whole team is busy with design work. How about you guys?
Trainings and webinars left and right. I have two tomorrow. I've had days with multiple, different clients training. So just hard to keep it all straight. But it's good. And I'm booking trainings into next year now. Selling copies of the Better Deck Deck. It's going really well, including some bulk orders. So
nice.
We'll say this again, but it makes a lovely holiday gift, whether you want to distribute PDF copies to everyone or physical copies to your clients or your employees. We've had both so far, people buying them. So swing on by thebetterdecktech.com because we got copies. How about you, Sandy?
Well, let's see. I'm well underway with my coursework for junior college students. The big exciting news is I signed off on a year-long presentation plan and approved budget contract with a new client. So I am really grateful that I can plan for the next year.
Oh my goodness. Could we dive into business? Because I'm really curious and you can just say too much information or can't give it out. Is that like a retainer where they're committing to you so much for the year? Or how does that work for you? Because that's very exciting.
Well, I planned out a combination. What it is based on the projects in the plan, I, of course, estimated an annual budget, and then I required a 50% down and a monthly retainer for a year.
So, Nolan, when Sandy announces the new car, that 50% down, that tells how big a contract that was.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
I tend not to do those things, but I mean,
it's scary. I'll tell you. Admittedly, I'm a little
responsibility for it's too adult for me.
Well, I have my accounting team, and Chloe from an account executive standpoint. I really feel like we've got it under control, but not with just a slight bit of trepidation.
That's great. Maybe sometime we should talk about that because we have tiptoed into what I'll call retainer work. In other words, we're providing commitment, and I mean, I know the business reasons and why it's such a good thing. On the other hand, I think I'm like, Nolan, I'm like, this kind of scares me. And we always build in, or I try to build in it's got to be spread out across the month. You can't pack 40 hours of requests into the last 40 hours of the month because we are.
Ooh.
And there's all these. Anyways, I've gotten scared away from them, although I would like them. Okay, so what's happening is we're all busy.
I have to tell you, I'm only allowing them to roll over 20% unused a month.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. So, and at the end of the year, there's a reconciliation plan in place that won't hurt me.
There's a truth and reconciliation committee at the end of the
year. Yes.
Yeah. Well, good.
Okay, let's do a quick little music interlude here because there is a lot happening in the world of presentation for news. Okay, we are back and we're going to do news. Man, I really should have like a newscaster, some sort of announcement. That was just the fun music. Anyways, I'll start it off with PowerPoint for Office 2021. So that's the standalone version that just released just in time for 2021 to still be around. But there are updates. It includes the co-authoring of documents, which, by the way, is easily becoming our favorite feature in PowerPoint. I've got a story about that. Lori was just on site with a very large automotive manufacturer, and for doing their executive rehearsals, now this wasn't a live show, she uploaded the files to our team's account so that she had a second designer with her from our team. And they were logged into the same file. So literally as people were making requests, that designer was making the edits or could pull in somebody else came and sat next to that designer and, you know, for the section. I mean, we just love the co-authoring. So anyways, if you're going to use the standalone version, those features are now available. You do have to upload it and be Teams enabled and all that stuff. Modern Comments, which I think are going to be a huge hit for everybody, all versions next year as people kind of start to adopt them for workflow and proofing. You know who is in your doc, when you're, again, it has to be that live collaboration thing. It has the visual refresh. I'm a little not certain how much I'm going to tout that as being a good thing in certain areas. Mm-hmm. As example, I really love it in Outlook. I just feel, anyways, I'll stop talking about it. It has the new and improved slide record, or what is it called? Record slideshow functionality, which I really like. And then there's the inking, you know, handwriting replay, which we've used when we were doing live events before everything went dark. And that was really cool. What else you got? I mean, it's just got all, basically, it's got the new stock media. It's got the updated draw tab. It's got the autosave feature. It's got the hex values for color, which is really helpful because we are working more and more in web design world. It's great to bring those hex values across. It has the sketchy lines effect, which I think is really cool and novel and something good to use. All of which are currently in your Office 365 subscription. So all these features are available to everybody on Office 365. They're just making a lot of the web-powered features now available in the standalone version, which is a little bit ironic to me because I don't know what you guys think, but isn't the standalone version for people that don't want a subscription or an online version of Office?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but they still want the features, and I think it's not. But
it's the online part of the IT thing that they're trying to avoid that's now been enabled. Anyways. Well,
true.
Lots to talk about. It's good stuff. If you need a standalone version, Office 2021 will bring you up to speed. And then it stops, so all the new stuff we're going to get over the next, you know, Q1, Q2, Q3 of next month will not be in it. So that's just the way it works. But I think it's newsworthy that there's a Office 2021 just in time for 2021 to be over.
That's right.
Sandy, what do you got?
There's the Guild annual meeting. That's on December 1. Yep. 8 o'clock Eastern time. We've got the link in our notes. Otherwise, just go to the if you're a member. Well, I think it might be open. I'm not quite sure, but it always has been when we've held the annual meeting at the presentation summit. So
I think what I heard is that it's open for the public, but the bar is only open to members.
I see. Well, anyway, go to the presentationguild.org and you'll find it on the events calendar and you can check it out.
And is board voting still open?
No, board voting, goodness sakes, board voting has closed. Okay. So, but what you'll be able to do if you attend the board meeting is hear President Bethany Ock and team leads provide a review of 2021, as well as a peek into what's going to happen in 2022. Of course, they'll be thanking board members because the election just completed and welcoming those newly elected. Why can't I talk, guys? Boy.
Cold, and bad weather. It just brings out everything in you.
My jaw is frozen, right? But anyway, we're going to welcome, or the Guild is going to welcome the newly elected board members who will begin their term on January 1st, 2022. And then, of course, there's an opportunity for you as a guest to ask questions and learn more about what's going on in the future.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
On the add-in front, our Slidewise. Our friends in New Power just keep pushing out version after version. So this is version 1.4, which should be launching by the time this goes live. That has a bunch of new features and updates and bug fixes and more with the masters, so you can easily see which masters and layouts are not being used. They've made a lot of the visuals a little more aggressive in warning you about errors and missing fonts and substituted and missing layouts. And I just took it for a spin, a little preview of it, and it just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah. So on Slidewise 1.4, I'm very excited. I've had emails going back and forth. It not only tells you which master has no layouts in it, which Okay, let me rephrase that. It not only tells you which master slide has no layouts in use, it lets you delete the master slide from directly in SlideWise now. Very excited, because that is a huge presentation cleanup, time-consuming item. So yeah, it just keeps getting better and better. What else we got?
Well, first of all, that's a big deal. I can't wait. I'd like to say that yesterday, Microsoft announced their new feedback portal for PowerPoint. You know what, that used to be the user voice site, which they took that down months ago, which was really weird. But anyway, it's a place now so you can share your thoughts with Microsoft, upvote other suggestions that are important to you. And I think, you know, the more you vote for something, the more attention it gets, the more likely your suggestion is to be heard and implemented. Again, we've got notes in the show notes, or a link, I should say, in the show notes, and go for it.
Okay, wait, I'm just going to interrupt because I saw it. Is that now publicly available information? It's now publicly released?
Sean Villaron, vice president of the PowerPoint group at Microsoft, posted it on LinkedIn.
Oh, well, then it is. Great. Yes. I wasn't, last time I looked, which was just, I think, like days ago, it said beta or something. Awesome. That is a very exciting thing because it's been missing from our community.
Absolutely.
You know, I'll wrap up news, and this is more of a question. I'm going to announce it as news, but this may be a discussion. Is there a new PowerPoint animation? If yes, which I believe it is now, this is newsworthy. So here's the backstory. Lori's developing presentations for executives for that said large automotive company. No names or company names being disclosed here. And while I was reviewing it, I noted that the animation pane for some of the effects was simpler. In other words, we do this effect all the time, but it's a combination of a fade in and a zoom effect combined to create this effect. And she only had one animation for each of them. I was trying to figure it all out. And she was very excited. She's like, oh yeah, they just added this. I'm like, wait, they didn't just add this. So here's my question, guys. Before I ask my question, I will also caveat that I reached out to Steve Rinsberg to look at older versions of PowerPoint because he is the master of all PowerPoint knowledge and access to legacy versions. He verified that he does not see this in earlier versions. So while I thought this was not new, Lori says it's new. I'm going to ask your opinion. If you add a basic zoom, so not the standard zoom, but a basic zoom, then in effect options, that list appears to be longer. It appears to have more options, including in slightly and out slightly options. Do you guys remember these? Memory?
Okay. This might be the, there's that effect, that memory
yes,
effect.
Yes, begins with an M something.
The Mandela effect. I believe we have had this. Now, I'm got to be speaking for the Mac because that's where I am 95% of the time, but I think these are not new.
Oh. I just can't remember.
I'm not going to put money on it.
I think the list looks longer. First, I was in agreement with you, but the more I looked at the list, I just don't remember those in there. But you know, I'm looking at the new fresh, whatever it's called, the fresh view of Office. Visual refresh. And there's more space between all the options. So I don't know. Maybe it just is a visual effect. So
there's in from center, in slightly, out from bottom. And I know I've used out from screen bottom. I know I've used that a lot, and out slightly. Yes. Anyways, there's a question mark. And then Steve said he couldn't find it or vision. And I sent him a screen capture and he said he didn't see it in older versions. So at any rate, it's being used. I'm very excited. I just wish we would see a whole refresh of the animation world to do more and more. Yeah. So anyways, I'll end the news with that question mark. Oh, you can also look, if anybody's questioning what the heck we're talking about, I did make a blog post. It just came out yesterday. So Monday, November 15th blog post is basically me showing this and asking the same question. Is this new? So there.
So let us know, drop a line, post on social media. Let us know what you're seeing.
Yes, because I just, and I'm
we'll
really
do some
questioning
investigation
it.
Too. We'll ask around.
All right. For today's conversation, it was recorded at the 2021 Presentation Summit in Clearwater, Florida at our suite. So it's a little bit, you know, we recorded it previously. This is not live. Lori Collar of TLC Creative Services, she set up this amazing conversation. Sandy Johnson joined her, and the two of them pulled in three additional just wonderful guests. And before I announce this any further, because the title of the whole, you know, podcast here is Presentation Women Talk Business, I should probably stop announcing things. And how about if I just remove Nolan and myself from the podcast and we turn it over to you, Sandy, for an intro? But Nolan and I will be back for the pro and tech tips and sign-offs in about 40 minutes.
So long, gentlemen.
See ya.
As I commandeer this podcast, I'd like to welcome our guest host, Lori Koller, to our episode. Lori held, just as a little background, at this most recent presentation summit, Lori held a session where she facilitated an open forum with women in the presentation industry. And in that session, I don't know, maybe there were 20, 30 of us, we discussed business issues that women face and everything from a woman's perspective. So as a follow-up, Lori and I sat down with three leaders in the industry, Wendy Gates Corbett, Jude Barak, and Yulia Barnikova. We sat down with them to discuss their perspectives on the role women play in the industry and the impact that we might have on our futures. Again, I have the honor of co-hosting the presentation podcast with friend and colleague Lori Koller. Hi, I'm so glad to be here with you. What's really, really neat about this episode, we are live at the Presentation Summit, and Sunday evening, Lori pulled together this amazing session, but with even more amazing women that attended it. And it was just, I have goosebumps talking about it. Tell us about what inspired you to do that and a little bit about the session, and then introduce our guests that we've brought in today.
Absolutely. So on Sunday, we had a late night session called Women in Business. And, you know, for many years, different people have done different late night sessions. And one of them, Nolan has been doing, is the Entrepreneur Roundtable, or the, it's had several different names.
Yes.
I can't remember what it's called right now.
I think it's been called, it might be changing now. Is it still called?
No, he referenced it, but it's a, you know, a business session. Mm-hmm. And so often in that session, we would have these conversations, and I just felt like, you know, we really need to talk as ladies, because I think ladies have a different take on things, and sometimes we have different challenges. So I proposed the idea to Rick, and Rick Altman really liked the idea. And so we put this together. And so of our conversation Sunday night, which was fabulous, we pulled some of the ladies to come join us. So I would like Yulia and Jude and Wendy to.
Sure. This is Yulia Barnikova. Hello, everyone. And so incredibly excited to be here to continue our fabulous conversation from last night. And so I am a presentation enthusiast and communication kind of futurist, I would say. I'm always looking at what is coming next with all kinds of presentation tools, PowerPoint, video work. We talked about holograms last night at my future presentation session. So I'm always thinking about what is next. And that relates to my broader work as a digital innovation consultant. And we work with a lot of executives to think about how can they lead differently in the future to become what we call future ready. So I'm combining that perspective of communication, what's changing with presentations, with that broader view of kind of the business world and what we're seeing across industries, and bringing that to this conversation. So really look forward to it.
And you are really looked to as the future expert in our business. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Hey, so great to be here. So I'm Jude Barak. I'm from Israel, one of the smallest countries, I think, in the world. Yet we always export everything outside of Israel. And that's my main business, helping startups, especially to get relationships with investors, with potential clients, partners. I'm a consultant, and I do a lot of presentations for those investor decks. Also a business owner, a woman being a business owner, And for me, it's so saddening, I think, in a way, to see that my challenges are worldwide. They're not just in a local community, but we share the same challenges. And I hope that more forums like this ones enables us to share these challenges and to speak about them, because for many years they were hidden. We didn't want to make waves, you know, to bring up things that, yes, they are challenging for us, and also to look inside us and see what we need to do, what's the extra mile we need to do in order to live in this world that, unfortunately, maybe, Lori, when you were showing the statistics in our branch, it's a bit different, but for most other women, it's a struggle to enter a man-dominated world, basically.
Hi, I'm Wendy Gates Corbett. I am thrilled to be here. This is my sixth presentation summit. I am the chief presentation officer of Signature Presentations.
That's your title. I love that title.
That's my title as well. I used to be the lead visualist, but I gave myself a promotion.
You deserve it, girl.
I'm so sorry. As a business owner, I can do that.
So sorry to interrupt. Please continue.
It's all right. I am a presentation consultant and a professional speaker. I work with business leaders, helping them clarify what they want to say, say it with confidence and slides that match their message. I am mid-pivot to putting my presentation work, marrying my presentation work with my purpose work, which is building a sense of belonging within the individuals that I work with. So I am in the process of transforming what I do to help people know that they belong on stage or in the boardroom, in the conference room, wherever it is they want to be. And the presentation summit is just such a great opportunity to be around other people who get it. And Lori, the environment that you created Sunday night, the opportunity to have that conversation, women in this industry, we get the passion. And so there's always energy that comes from being around people who share the passion. But to Jude's point, an opportunity to share the struggles that we've had in a way with other people who get it in a way that no one else can. Was wonderful. I'm delighted to be here.
Oh, that's awesome. We had such great conversations. And I think the goal for right now is we're going to rehash some of those conversations, maybe talk about some new things. But we just thought it would be a good conversation that other people would like to participate
Absolutely. In. Bring it to our listeners.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the things we started with on Sunday was the fact that, you know, we agreed we're all in a creative industry. And when you look at surveys from places like AIGA, the Presentation Guild, one thing is that our industry, we're pretty 50-50 gender-wise. In fact, actually, our industry typically is more, a little bit more women than men. So when you look at that, you're like, well, you know, you're fine. Well, let me share another statistic. And this one came from Forbes that, there are more women running Fortune 500 businesses today than at any point in the 63-year history of the Fortune 500. But that's still only 6.4%. of the corporations being led by women today. So yes, some great things have come about over the years, but there's still some work to do.
Yes, and I'd like to add that with the, excuse me, I'm going to take this off. I just took off my badge because it was very noisy. I would add that in the presentation industry, and this is some stats that I'm not quoting directly, but referencing the Presentation Guild's salary survey and a state of the industry survey. And in general, women are on par with men in the industry. However, as the income levels raise, men seem to be taking over. I don't want to sound negative at all, but they make more money at the $75,000 a year, the $100,000 a year. They're more likely to make those amounts than the women in our business.
So some goals,
exactly.
Goals to strive for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the topics we talked about or we started off with was advantages that women have. So I'm just going to bring up a couple of the topics and then let's just you know, go at it, you know, either if you remember what was said or have some thoughts. But one thing we talked about, some of the advantages that women have, is it's well documented that a diverse workforce is an innovative workforce. We also talked about that women excel at the soft skills needed for business leadership, and that women represent a huge economic power. So we can offer consumer insights that perhaps that often male genre doesn't necessarily think about. So what do we talk about? Do you guys remember?
I remember saying that with all these advantages we do have, I was quoting a TED Talk and a book that was very interesting for me. It's called No Ceiling, No Walls by Susan Colantuono. I hope I pronounce her name properly.
And we can put a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, especially to the TED Talk, because I think it's a must for any woman. And the subtitle of this book is What Women Haven't Been Told About Leadership from Career Start to the End, or in the corporate world. And one of the things she says is that we are very efficient at what we do. We can do in 5 hours or 6 hours what men have all the time to do, so they spread it on the world. But we don't know how to show or tell about the value we bring to our, whether it's our bosses or our clients. You won't see women negotiating salaries, and this is something I think you brought up, Lori.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly. And Christine, when you were telling that story, brought up the fact that she had used the salary survey to negotiate her salary in her new role that actually she created because of her exposure to the guild and to the women in this business.
Yeah, and I think I shared a statistic that, you know, it's been kind of documented, women are less successful in salary negotiation. But in one of the studies, 68% of women accepted the salary they were offered, whereas the men, nearly half of the men, negotiated before accepting a role.
Okay, so what was one of the, anything on that? Anybody, you know, go ahead, just barge right in.
so that's a really great book, and I love that TED Talk. Actually, I presented it at one of my workshops because it is so important to not just kind of do the great work, but also be able to talk about it. And the other thing she mentioned is this idea of understanding how the company makes money and kind of how all the systems work together in order to be able to execute on their strategy going into the future. That was another point that she had. And that actually relates to some of the stuff that we do at my company called Heidrick & Struggles. It's an executive search and leadership advisory firm. And we do research across a lot of different companies to see, well, what is it that others, that companies are looking for today in their leaders and executives? And the thing that we have kind of distilled it all down to is this idea of leadership agility. And the idea there is you have to stay kind of on the leading edge of what's happening in your industry. You have to know what's happening both in your business and then how the market pressures, how everything's going on around you translates to that business strategy, and then how your role then helps execute on that strategy. So that's a really critical piece. But then it's also being able to adapt to whatever new market shift comes your way. And that has to do with learning, with experimentation, to coming to conferences like this, always trying to sharpen your skills. Because given how dynamic the market is today, especially in the post-COVID era, as we say, it's not, you know, who knows the most today that wins, but it's whoever can learn the fastest, who can kind of keep up with the challenges of tomorrow. So that's kind of a build out of what Susan talked about. And it's so important, I think, especially for women to really push themselves to continue learning and growth and talk about it.
At the same time, one of the things that really resonated with me is the fact that I think that right now women are poised in a way like we have never been before, because our soft skills, Typically, women are more naturally empathetic, and our work world is clamoring for empathy right now. Mm-hmm. And it is a skill that comes naturally to many of us. So that's one of the skills that I work on in the women, all of the people that I work with, but particularly women. And I think our soft skills, our ability to collaborate, is something that sets us apart and can help strengthen us moving forward. I also, one of the things I loved about Sunday night is just that feeling of we're all moving forward together. We weren't leaving anyone behind. And I think we do such a great job of creating those kinds of environments.
I wish you could see all the nodding heads.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Right now. And Wendy, actually, this idea of inclusion and belonging, we are seeing that just kind of blow up across industries right now with our clients. People are realizing that the bar has just gone up tremendously post-COVID, because this idea of kind of seeing people for who they are, not just professionally, but really holistically as a person, that is kind of one of the new leadership skills, and part of that, this leadership agility of being able to not just kind of do your own style that you're used to and you're comfortable with, but being able to adapt based on your entire team. And especially in this hybrid work environment, when people are, you know, you have some people from home, some people returning to office, and it's still not fully settled, and especially with Delta and all these other variants coming around, it's so important that everybody feels like they're part of the team, regardless of where they are. And women, as you mentioned, are especially kind of have that edge potentially.
I think that we can also look at post-COVID era as a change point for us women. I think the fact that now a lot of men work from home and seeing exactly what it means to keep a household, to take care of children, and for them even being here and helping more, I think it's an opportunity for women to also start seeing themselves as career women, even if they work from home. And this is a great chance to do that.
Well, that is naturally to the next item that we talked about, and really when our conversation took off on Sunday.
Agreed.
And that is, don't think of yourself as women.
That's weird.
Yes. It is. And there are some who will argue that we need to be comfortable with our femininity. But Shark Tank star, Lori Greiner, can you picture who she is and the scheme of things. She says, I never think of myself as a female in business. Instead, she sees herself as a confident, capable leader. Gender doesn't factor in. As a matter of fact, she says, I'm a person in business. Instead of biting my tongue and not asking for that raise, everyone here, you deserve that raise. And she thinks that women should stop thinking about their femaleness as a potential roadblock. So it's one thing honoring your femininity, it's another looking at it as a roadblock, as an excuse. So don't think of it all, she says. It can be a fitball,
you know,
or a pitfall.
Pitfall.
Yeah, exactly. Like exactly. So it's going to be, never think of things that might be harder because you're a woman. Just have that confidence going through. So let's talk about this whole concept.
Yeah, Lori Greiner is actually one of my favorite role models from Shark Tank. I mean, she strikes, I feel like, the perfect balance of kind of, you know, eloquence and professionalism with standing her ground and kind of getting down with Kevin and Mark and all those Robert, sometimes not as much as Kevin and Mark, but yeah. So she's I think she's a really great role model. If anybody wants to kind of take a look at how she is on Shark Tank, I highly recommend. I mean, I've probably seen most episodes, I think, with my kids. Actually, another role model of mine and somebody that I wanted to put on everyone's radar is this gal named Whitney Wolf Herd, and she is the founder of Bumble, which is the idea, it's a dating platform, and she used to work at Tinder, and she kind of realized that, you know, ladies sometimes need to make the first move, you know, on this, on dating platforms. A lot of times it's kind of like, well, we got to wait for the guys to approach us, that kind of thing. And so she said, well, let's start a women make the first move platform. And so she left Tinder, and she, by the way, she actually had some issues with getting included and all that at Tinder. So she kind of made her own move, and she's now the youngest woman to ever take a company public, and her company is now worth about $1 billion. And the thing I want to say is not just how inspirational that is in itself, but she has now really worked on the culture of the company. If you take a look at the benefits that she offers like mental health weeks. I mean, she has, you know, time off if you have a miscarriage, all those kinds of things. She's really catering to women in the culture and the team that that she is fostering. So that that is something that I think that is where kind of society is going in general. And I think that's definitely somebody and a company that that is good to have on the radar as well.
So Sandy and I are here smiling because we've done a lot of research on articles. And so, so we didn't cover everything on Sunday. So I just pulled up one of the articles is about Whitney. And so I had some quotes and you just covered it beautifully. Oh. So I just, that brings me to the point. In the show notes, I'm going to add all the links to the articles that we referenced when we talked and other articles. So if you're, you know, fired up, if you want more information, take a look at those articles in our links.
I love the name of her company, Bumble, and only because I relate the concept of bumbling. I don't know if you remember this, Yulia, but we took a cab to the airport together a yes. few years ago, and I talked about when I entered this business how I was quite naive and perhaps overconfident, and I bumbled my way through and up the ladder and into my career because, wait a minute, a woman's, I truly had the thought that being a woman shouldn't stop me. Now, it wasn't pretty, but I bumbled my way. I fought for raises. I made sure that I was in a marketing role that another man had competed for. So I think naivete is the best description of it. I just didn't think I could lose.
That's awesome.
Yes. But you know what? As you go along, you learn things along the way. And I think I'm different than I used to be that way. I'm not maybe as quite as confident yeah. as I used to be.
And I grew up, my mom didn't really have a full-time job. She was a substitute teacher and a mom. But she would, while dad was at work, she would go out and she would go real estate hunting. And he'd come home and say, hey, I bought a house today.
And oh, I love her.
And we're going to fix it up and we're going to rent it. And then that rent's going to pay that mortgage. And then when we get to a certain point, we're going to do it again. And that was my mom. So I grew up just thinking, oh, okay, we can go out and do stuff. Mm-hmm. So
good.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. same. So I was benefiting that. I just started like, okay, I can do this myself. And
you course, didn't have I to need, bumble though. You I had a great role model.
I had a good role model, but I definitely needed help along the way. Mm-hmm. And we had a great conversation, a fantastic conversation about networking and mentorship. So
I want to chime in because the whole idea of being an expert, owning who we are and what we bring to the table, two of the things that have really contributed to my confidence as a business owner, as not as a businesswoman, but as a business owner, is coming to the presentation summit and feeling like, I remember the first time I came 6 years ago and I felt like, oh, seeing the quality of work that was done was amazing. And I felt like a second grader, you know, but I was nourished and I was inspired by what I've seen and all of the conversations that we had and how welcoming everybody is has been amazing to me. And then joining the Presentation Guild, the forming of and becoming part of the Presentation Guild has also boosted me because I see it as legitimizing or adding to the legitimacy of our expertise mm-hmm. and absolutely. Being part of both of these mm-hmm. are feed my confidence knowing that this is a profession and we are doing great work. We all know the value that we bring and I learn ways to express the value that I bring and ways to present that confidently.
And the Presentation Guild, not to keep plugging it, even though it actually is fantastic. It's another great way to kind of stay on top of market trends. Like, we're having a session coming up that's all about kind of diving into new platforms and 3D spaces and all that kind of stuff. But it's a way to keep ourselves on the leading edge, because no one of us can monitor the entire sphere of what's going on alone. But when you have all these little kind of feelers in each individual member, we can kind of cover the broad spectrum together and then elevate ourselves collectively. So, well, that's what's exciting.
I want to add that Yulia led the effort. We formed a think tank of leaders in the industry, and they helped us then that conversation. Yulia led the drafting of the white paper, the industry white paper, The Future of Presentations. Excellent, excellent. And it's available free to anyone to download. So I would say go to the Guild site and download that.
Yeah, I remember also I came, my first one was together with Wendy 6 years ago. And I remember coming, you know, for me, it was the first time in the States. I hate flying so many hours. It's like 16 hours.
You traveled across the ocean to a summit that you'd never had attended.
No, never. Like, so it was the first time. And I was telling Julia on the way, I took a course for small talk because I wasn't sure. I mean, what I'm going to do, meeting people I have never met before. But the moment I came in, I felt I came home. It was, wow, this is the place with my people. Or the way we say my peeps.
My peeps.
Mm-hmm. My peeps. Mm-hmm. And I think I was saying that on Sunday, Lori, when I said that here, I feel that we have the net park, not the work part. You know, when we talk about
when
networking.
You say that, that's great. Isn't that great?
And that's the way I feel. And I think that I feel so good about having this conversation here, because I hope that we can, you know, transmit this feeling that I have to everybody who listens. This is a net, and it's great.
Yeah, when you said, you know, this is like a network without the work. We're all part of the same net, and everybody just sighed like, yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we talk about the other side of networking, the other kind of networking? This does help us grow our business being here this week, I think it gives us more of that support feeling. What about going out and promoting our businesses and forming a network that way? Is that important in what you're doing?
For me, it's my main source of marketing, really.
Okay.
So, yes, I go to quite a few network meetings. I have different networking groups. And this is the way to spread the word. This is my business. This is what I do. And mostly, what is the value that my clients will get from working with me? And this is also something I'm not so sure that women, or the way we think, is to talk about values and not so much about how we do or what we do, but what will our clients, people, bosses, whoever, what are they going to get from our work? What is the value?
I don't think we're programmed to talk about ourselves.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know, mm-hmm. And I think that could be considered a challenge, you know, for a lot of us, is to promote, no, I bring a lot of value to the table, to track our successes. Yeah.
That's also what Wendy said. We were talking about the imposter syndrome. You'll correct it, Troy, please. Imposter syndrome.
Perfect.
Nicely said.
Yeah, thank you. And this is something we don't like to talk when we are with men for some reason. But when we started talking about it, and Wendy, you refer to fifth graders. Do you remember what you said?
Please that share that. That was so brilliant. Enlightening for me. Please share that.
I love this analogy. I wish I could take credit for it, but I learned it from someone who attended one of my workshops. She learned it from a workshop that she attended. So I don't want to take credit for designing this, but I will take credit for sharing it. So many of us, myself included, feel like we are in a room and see, oh my gosh, that person is so successful. They've been in business for so long, or they make so much money, or they have such prestigious clients, or whatever it is that we feel like, oh my gosh, they are so much farther along than I am. And the analogy is that wherever we are in our business, we are the fifth graders. Now, to the second graders look up at us as fifth graders and, oh,
We are the
so
bomb.
Cool.
Yes, exactly. We rule the school. We are so cool. As fifth graders, we look at the eighth graders with that same look, like, oh my gosh, they're so cool. They've got it all together. The people that we serve all need us. And there are plenty of audiences that are second graders, that are fifth graders, and that are eighth graders. And that's how we all move forward. When we look and aspire to be like the eighth graders, then that's how we push ourselves to move forward. So that's the analogy. I love that analogy. Like, and for the second graders, they have no idea that the eighth graders even exist, you know, or the 12th graders.
Good point. Yeah. Such a good analogy.
Yeah, I was just looking at this social media thread from Justin Kahn, who is one of the folks who sold Twitch for millions of dollars. So Twitch is a live streaming platform that a lot of gamers use. But he was actually talking about this exact thing, Wendy. And he's a multimillionaire. He's extremely successful. So many people look up to him. But he was saying, well, I felt a sense of emptiness because I was looking at people who had Dropbox, and like, I wasn't, you know, a unicorn founder. And so he felt empty because he hadn't sold for billions, or, you know, wasn't worth billions. So it's interesting. That just puts things into perspective. And, you know, even when you get to that really high level, you got to appreciate or got to really realize what your strengths are.
Well, and I would argue too that the people I look to as an eighth grader may think they're the fifth grader and I'm the eighth grader. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's
because of your strengths versus theirs.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Or you could be a fifth grader. You could both be the eighth and fifth grader in certain things. And that's why there's complementarity and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where we look for mentors. And that's, again, that's referring to your question, really, Sandy. And I said that I felt for a long time that as women, going back to our issue, we didn't really have good women mentors. We had to look at men and try to do exactly the same as they did.
Exactly. Or women that looked like men and acted like men.
Yes,
exactly.
And it didn't work well. Mm-hmm. And again, I think it was Sheryl Sandberg from Facebook that says one that the word bossy is only referred to women. You don't hear it about men.
Right.
And that's, I guess, because when we were looking at the successful people, they were men, and we tried to imitate them. It doesn't work very well on us as women. And one of the things I'm happy to see is that more and more women, we can look up to them. You know, even if in our industry, I remember when I saw Nancy, you know, Nancy for me was wow. Nancy Duarte.
She's still wow.
Yes.
She's the senior for sure.
I was on the, like you said, a second grade. Now I feel like a fifth grade, but I still have Nancy to look up to, and she always comes with new things. Or Yulia, who sits here. No, every time she posts something, oh, wow, I look up to her because she's the innovative person in our group. And maybe others look at me as, okay, so international or you know, multicultural.
Absolutely. Business leader, is assertive, growing your business.
Yes.
So
this is, and I think that we need to make a point to ourselves, and this is, again, the inner looking, to become role models for others and to mentor. And maybe even, I don't know, maybe even as a guild or something, to start offering some sort of mentoring services to free or something to other people who start their business or start their way into the corporate world.
And but to that point, we don't, yes, I think that's a great opportunity for the guild to formalize that. But every single day, the women in this room are mentoring somebody, whether you realize it or not.
Agreed.
Yep. An example is I received this LinkedIn note out of the blue, and it was from a woman who said, you know, years ago, I attended a presentation that was being given by somebody else, and I learned later that you had developed the slides. And it was a light bulb went on, and she, writing this note, said, I realized that there is a talent to developing presentations, slide design, and I decided to go into the business. Now, that's cool. Yes.
Wow.
And so I had no idea that I was having that impact on that person. And that she told me years later meant so much.
So neat. Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
And I think that that also, there's a really great point there about kind of finding your strength and your own expertise and putting it out there. I mean, it's kind of more of a passive way of networking, but it's like everybody has something unique to share. And if you can distill that and put it out there, whether it's social media or attending an event, and Wendy and I were just talking about this the other night, is Wendy just kind of does these videos that are, you know, not maybe as polished as she'd like, or but she puts them out there.
They're gorgeous.
And how many, they're incredible. But to her, probably it's, you know, maybe like 95% versus 100%. But so many of us, like myself included, I'm just waiting for kind of like that perfect moment to put things out there a lot of times. And I think we need to get more comfortable putting things out, because you never know who that could inspire and who could be watching and like what that can do. And I've also found that at least attempting to do that helps clarify your own thinking and really synthesize the nuggets of knowledge that you have, and that helps you be a stronger communicator and stronger talking about your value or, you know, your message just to everyone you meet.
I totally agree with that. And what I struggle with is I have committed to myself to putting a 2 to 3 minute video out every week or so, something related to the concept of belonging. I could spend 2 days or more recording that 2 minute video. If I watched it, if I listened to it, I would do it over and over again. So as I committed to making these videos in order to not have it become a full-time job, I told myself that they would be unscripted, they would be imperfect, and I could only do them in 3 takes. I couldn't do any more. I was going to post the best of those 3. And so it is hard to put myself out there on video. But what helps me is remembering that when I see someone else's video, I'm not looking for perfection. I'm not looking for, you know, what I'm looking
production
for
quality.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm listening for their message and wanting that connection with them. So it is hard to do those videos, but I tag them as imperfect and honest. And it's heartwarming to know how many people see them.
And I have to say, as one of those people who have seen your videos, I don't remember anything about the production quality. I just remember your face telling me, what if you didn't care? And the impact that it has on your comfort in the world. It's awesome work.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That means a lot to me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think that imperfection is something we, especially as women, have to get more comfortable with, because that's what's going to get you those shots on goal, that agility to constantly experiment, to try new things and to adjust along the way. I mean, we talk about kind of failing fast in business, but I think we have to kind of start doing that a little bit more, you know, personally with smaller things. And that's something I'm really trying to work on too. So Wendy has inspired me to try to do more kind of quick unscripted videos. So thank you.
That's awesome. And let's not forget about other opportunities for mentoring. You know, I've been asked to go to the local high school and talk about what I do.
How fun is that?
And it's so cool. Every time I do it, I have at least one person, actually, usually it's a young girl, that comes up to me and they're like, oh my gosh, that's what I want to do. Or, you know, they just, it's been so cool. But also, I guess in a way, I mentor several of our employees. I like business. I've figured out business. And so I have a couple employees that they're doing their own thing on the side. And so they'll ask questions and I'm happy to share with them and say, hey, you might need a permit for that, or, you know, whatever. And I think that's great when we find opportunities to mentor other women, but guys as well. I mean, you know, yeah, we have a lot to share. We have a lot to offer.
I am part of a fund that mentors young entrepreneurs, both men and women. So in the beginning, I said, hold on, am I a mentor? I never thought about it because, you know, you look at somebody famous or something as a mentor. But again, you're fifth grade. I mean, that's such a great analogy, because even here, when I see how much I can help them and assist them from my own experience, and it's both good for them, but also for me, because as we said before, confidence. And sometimes when they ask me something and I have to think it for them, I actually think it also for me. And that's part of being in business. I think that nobody, I didn't go to business school when I started. I'm not so sure exactly how they had business schools or anything. It just shows how I say that I have a lot of, I'm a veteran in the world.
Yes, you have a lot of years. Life skills, life love learning.
Mm-hmm. I love so it.
I think that many times when, again, women who struggle a little different, it's not more or less, but a bit different. And when we can share this experience, that it's very helpful to others.
Agreed, agreed. And there's so much that we could talk about. I'm going to just pull out the last couple things that we wrapped up with. We talked about opportunities, challenging ourselves. Let me read through this list. I know a lot of us were nodding our heads and we had a few final thoughts here. That we need to face our by facing our challenges, it makes us better and stronger. We have to claim our seat at the table because no one's going to give it to us. We need to learn to ask for what you want, what you need. You need to take yourself seriously, even when others don't. And the asking for help is a strength. It's not a weakness. The female brain is wired for collaboration. We've talked about that. And there's so much to be gained from connecting with others, as well as asking, or like we mentioned, offering help where it's needed. So, yeah.
It's more about the asking help. That's the challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that something that we don't? I'm really trying to be better at that.
And I imagine guys at this also have that challenge too.
Yes, absolutely.
Know? So, you know, I'd like to think there's gentlemen listening to us and they're like, oh yeah, it's a good point. I should do that or I could do that or yeah.
Absolutely. And Jude is such an inspiration too, because she makes these really bold moves. Like she just got off a road trip where she was strategizing about business and having fun along the way. I mean, talk about a bold move. Did you want to give like a 30-second overview?
Take us on a quick tour.
Yeah,
a quick tour. So I met my friend and now partner, Linda Gross. I met her 6 years ago on my first summit. Talk about summit and networking and opportunities. So for the first years, we just chatted and, you know, just being friends. And lately, while talking just in general, we found out that we have mutual interests and we just started this joint venture. And the way to brainstorm, okay, so we did Zoom and we Zoomed a lot during COVID, but we decided that since we're coming to the summit, we're going to meet 10 days earlier. We're going to just have a road trip. We start in New Orleans, going to Memphis, Nashville, Atlanta. We came here to Clearwater in Florida. And during those long driving, we had such great sessions of brainstorming. And we just, you know, came with these ideas and it's such a pleasure. That's the thing that it's fun. It's not work, really. It's fun. And
one of the things I love about that is that you're from Israel and Linda's from Canada, right? And so you come into the U.S. and do a road trip.
I love it. Isn't that the coolest?
I love that. Talking about bold.
We're so diverse. We are diverse among ourselves. It's just awesome.
And diverse, and yet you see how much we have in common.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And that's why I say I came here and it's my peeps.
Love it.
Indeed. Yeah,
it has been such a great time chatting with you ladies. And gosh, I wish we could have, you know, brought everyone here with us. But I have a feeling that we will get to meet again at the next summit and we'll have another Women in Business session. Maybe this time with a little bit more light and less traffic noise, because we did meet outdoors. We were distanced. Yes, there's something going on out over the ocean there, or the Gulf, I should say. I'm from California. Big bodies of water are naturally oceans. I gotta learn that. So, Sandy?
Oh, this is awesome. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Wendy, Jude, Leah. I'm sorry, Yulia. And I hope we can do this again. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and let's all say goodbye. And do me a favor. Let us know how to get a hold of you. A website, your Twitter handle, whatever. So, let's all sign off. And
sure, this is Yulia Barnikova. You can find me on LinkedIn. It's probably easiest at Yulia Barnikova, or I guess Twitter is Techno Ready. So we all got to get ready for that tech wave before it hits us.
So this is Jude Barak, and my website is judebarak.com. You can find me on LinkedIn as well.
And this is Wendy Gates Corbett. You can find me probably easiest on LinkedIn, no hyphen between Gates and Corbett, or my company is Signature Presentations. My website is signature-presentations.com.
And this is Lori from TLC Creative. I'm sure you know how to get hold of me, but go to our website.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz. You can find me at presentationwiz.biz, both my website and my blog are there. Be sure to check out the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org. And I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and Twitter as at PPTWiz.
Well, welcome back. Troy and I are back from our
I went for a jog. What did you do, Nolan?
Exiled. I had some ice cream and kicked back and watched some TV. So, all right. Well, that was great. Thank you so much, Sandy, and Lori for that conversation and managing all that. And let's talk about some pro and tech tips, which we haven't done in a while. But I've got one. A website called Shippo.com. Now it's GoShippo, so GoShippo, as in hippo. That's their little mascot. And this is a shipping site that I'm using for sending out my Better Deck decks, and it coordinates and syncs with my Squarespace commerce site. So somebody places an order, and it just gets automatically routed over there, and I see it. But here's the cool thing: is you don't need to even have a commerce site or be sending a lot of stuff out. You can sign up for a free account. I pay them nothing. I just give them a small percentage of each shipping item, and they have unbelievable discounts. I have no idea how they work. But essentially, whether you put it in manually or it syncs an order and an address from somewhere else, you just type in your address, what the dimensions of whatever box or item you're shipping, and then you have a pull down of all the different USPS, US Postal Service options, post office, DHL, FedEx, everything. You select whatever you want, you hit print label, it prints it. There, it's you pay for it through credit card. It's a barcode. You put it on your thing, and you don't have to wait online at the post office. And it's incredible, and it's fast, and it's cheap, and they have amazing customer service. They'll tell me if I have a zip code wrong or something. And that's how I'm doing. So even if you're just sending out holiday gifts, just sign up for an account. Don't go to the post office. And
they do your international as well?
International, everything. International can get really complicated, but this makes it easier. If you see that, post office is too much, let's go to UPS, let's go to DHL, or this.
Oh, you can do price comparisons on them?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's really, really awesome.
I want to talk about with you about the international and customs and all that stuff.
Yeah, it prints out all your custom sheets that I don't understand at all, but it prints them out. I sign them. I give it to the guy at the UPS store, and he's like, all right, we'll take it from here. And it works. So.
Wow. Awesome.
Yep, so that's GoShippo.com. Mm-hmm.
There is a name I would have not looked for. Okay, I'm pretty excited about this one. This is like as low tech of a thing you can get, and I love them. So I'm going to hold them up for you guys to see. See this thing in the video feed?
That's a bunch of black shapes. What is
exactly.
that?
Exactly. These are, I'll give you the Amazon link. Oh, sorry, Sandy. There you go. I'm holding up so you can see the light behind there. They're literally, so they're blackout LED dots. They're stickers. And, so we have a home office and we walk by, it's outside of our bedroom and stuff. The monitors have little blinking lights. The phone has a blinking light. The power source on the multiple power strips have little lights. I don't really care about the little lights. All I know is it's a rainbow of colors up here at night. So these are literally stickers you stick over the lights. Now you wouldn't want to do it over ones that I could have some meaning, like, I don't know. But anyways, so like my docking station, the Thunderbolt docking station, Thunderbolt. Yeah, Thunderbolt. Thunderbolt docking station. It has three lights on it. One to say it's powered, it's plugged in. Well, it's plugged in. I don't have to worry about that. One to say when it's on. I don't care because I'm using my computer. And it has, well, actually, it has like three or four of them on the back. So I just put these little dots over them and suddenly there's less of a light show at night. I think it's a brilliant low-tech solution to things. I just
nice.
Nice. Nice. I've done that with some electrical tape in our bedroom. But
see, this is just so much cooler than electrical tape. And more expensive. Okay, Sandy, what do you got? Pro and tech tip.
Well, mine is not presentation related. It is tech related. It's the Apple Wallet on your iPhone. I don't know if you use it, but I have been using it for some time. I've always had my credit cards on it, which is wonderful because there are times when I forget my wallet. But I think what's really cool is any company that partners with the Apple Wallet, when you say, for example, buy game tickets, all you have to do is add it to your Apple Wallet. So everything's in one place. We go for football games and I always add my husband's and our tickets, our parking pass, that sort of thing. Also, if your healthcare organization partners with Apple, you can add your vaccine information to the screen. And so, I mean, I still carry my laminated paper one, but it's just handy to have. That's a little official color thing that's on your wallet.
All right. That was awesome. Let's do some sign-offs and enjoy the rest of the week. This is Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services. We're a professional presentation design agency. You can check us out at tlccreative.com. I have a blog, thepowerpointblog.com. And then our virtual events are at vxpmeetings.com. And it's been fun having you here.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com, where you can get lots of downloads and goodies. And also thebetterdeckdeck.com, where you can purchase a PDF or physical copy to give you design inspiration for getting rid of those bullet points. And also nolanhamescreative.com, where you can see our design and training information if you're looking for that.
Wait, I missed that you had a PDF version. That's really cool, Nolan.
Oh, yeah. We got a PDF. And we're working on yet another variation of it. Hopefully in the next month, we'll be able to announce that as well.
That's great. That's
Does it involve AR or VR?
No, sorry. No.
You should have just gone with it. I was trying to stay up.
Well, this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwhiz.biz, the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org, and I'm also on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and on Twitter as @PPTWhiz.
Thank you for joining us for another great presentation conversation. Episode show notes are available on the Presentation Podcast website at www.thepresentationpodcast.com. Also through the website, contact the show hosts with episode suggestions, questions, or comments. We want other designers to join us, and you can help. Please leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services Incorporated. And new episodes release on the first and third Tuesdays of each month.